Welcome to Bevington Banter, the show where we can sound like we're arguing even when we all agree. I'm Cassidy, and together with my brother Cade and dad Randy, each week we discuss a selection of news stories, topics surrounding the culture, and matters of freedom and faith. Thanks for listening. Follow and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Share it, and if you like what you hear, rate it 5 stars on Apple and Spotify.
So who wants to talk about MK Ultra?
Is that the mind control?
Yeah.
Where they got people to do bad things?
Yeah. I think that's real. I'm starting to think.
It is. Okay, real.
The Titanic conspiracy on Pat Gray today was also pretty convincing.
Didn't listen to it. Will, though, now that you just said that.
When you only hear one side of any argument, it sounds convincing.
Yeah, I mean, Flat Earth Dave got me.
Yeah, Flat Earth Dave was convincing. The sun is only 37 miles away from the Earth. I mean, yeah, so.
Yeah, it's not really fair to give me. Okay, I almost just said something crazy. I almost said maybe there is something to this whole fair. What was that whole radio thing?
Fairness doctrine.
The fairness doctrine where you have to give equal amount to each side.
Equal time to both sides.
Wasn't that like a law?
Yeah. That's what they kept Clinton pushed it, Obama brought it back. Yeah. I mean they didn't successfully get it through either time, but it had been something that had, I think, was in effect earlier, like in the early 80s or something.
I don't think it should be a law, but I do think you should do it, especially when the other side is insane.
Well, because it is politically.
You should give them more time, yeah. Like Brian Regan.
I yield the rest of my time
to my opponent.
If you have a political, like, speaker, you know, then you have to at least offer equal time to the other side. They don't have to take you up on it, and you're okay, but you have to at least make it available.
Come tell everybody about your cuckoo ideas so that I seem even more sane.
So MK Ultra
is not a cuckoo conspiracy.
Ideas, it MK really, Ultra?
MK Ultra is a real program that really existed. Oh, that's not.
People maybe have forgotten about the Uvalde shooting and how that kid had a court-ordered psychologist who used to work for the CIA.
Yeah.
Nobody talks about it.
Well, on Pat Gray today, they also talked about this book that was written in 1969 that talked about all that, like, it predicted in 2010, this weird stuff. And one of the things was about, like, people, like, shooting up random places and stuff. And so basically everything is scripted.
Yeah.
Was my takeaway from hearing them talk about all the, like, they listed a lot of things in that
book. Well, we know the pandemic was scripted, right?
Well, yeah.
And the response to it and all that stuff, because it had been discussed specifically, 2017? At one of their big WEF conferences or whatever?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they did. It wasn't the exact name of it, but it wasn't WEF. It wasn't the World Economic Forum.
No, but Bill Gates was a part of it.
Correct, yeah. And they went through and basically played out exactly what happened during COVID.
Yeah.
Dom Luker had a tweet today that it's now being reported that Robert Card may have been targeting deaf people during the mass shooting. So apparently there was like a local cornhole event for deaf people that he had attended because he was recently starting to go deaf.
This is the main...
The shooter, Robert Card from Maine.
The suspect, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway... He had his sister-in-law said that he had become like paranoid and was hearing voices. He thought people were talking about him, and he apparently thought that these other people at this event had been making fun of him. He said he could hear people talking about him all the time and like voices.
Deaf people?
I guess. Other deaf people. It was a deaf people. So apparently.
He said, I could see them talking about me.
They had events at the bowling alley also, and four of the people that he apparently. People said that it looked like he was specifically targeting them. They were also deaf and had been at that event, and he had thought they were making fun of him earlier. So that sounds weird. But also it sounded weird that as soon as they put these hearing aids in, he started hearing voices.
Isn't that the point of hearing aids?
I feel like somebody's talking to him, though. Like, that's not actually there.
So you think somebody's a radio is speaking into his head?
Yeah.
Like the CIA is speaking to him.
He had already shown signs of being crazy, said he was going to shoot up a National Guard base in the past. He was known to have psychological problems, was hearing voices after they put the... So if someone is already predisposed to having that type of a psychotic break, do they then use them? Do they then say, hey, you're going deaf, we need to give you hearing aids, and start talking to them?
I have a question, because I don't know how this works, but when somebody says they're hearing voices, I mean, do you know, has anybody ever described it? Does it feel to them like they're audibly hearing voices in their ears? Is it just like a sense of hearing voices in your head?
Your voice in your head, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I wonder what it means. Like, I don't know. Because if
they probably can't differentiate. I mean, they probably can't differentiate the two.
Like, I right now having these headphones on, and I hear you guys speak, I would know that the sound
that's
is coming
not voices
through the
in
headphones.
My head. It's audible. Yeah.
Right. So that's what I'm saying, though. Voices in these hearing aids would seem to me like somebody was speaking to me through the hearing aids,
unless you're already a crazy person. That's what I'm saying. That's where they find people who are predisposed to this. He's already a crazy person. You could probably convince him of it. And the kid from Uvalde was also kind of crazy. And yeah. The biggest factor of all these guys that, you know, shoot places up, one of the biggest, you know, common factors between them is they're on some kind of psychotropic drug.
Yeah. Wasn't the, what's his name? The guy that shot Reagan? Wasn't he?
Hinckley?
Yeah. Didn't he have a psychiatrist or something that was connected to MK Ultra?
Very possible, but, you know, other people who have been
It was either him or John Lennon. What was
the guy who killed John Lennon, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, that guy was crazy.
Yeah, well.
For sure. I just want to publicly state that I'm not, like, signing on to this. They were talking to him through his hearing aids idea.
No.
Just for the record.
I'm just talking.
Yeah, yeah.
And if, you know what? I also was just kind of spitballing on the whole AI and the fighter jet thing, and that seems likely.
That was good. That was much more believable.
You don't think that an MK Ultra scientist who knows that a guy's already kind of crazy and already hearing voices, and maybe he was already hearing voices, like actually hearing voices and doing what the voices were saying, and they're like, hey, we could take advantage of this. Let's talk to him through his hearing aids.
Standing right next to him, hear that there's something coming out of the hearing aid. Like, you wouldn't be able to understand it, but you could tell that
there
was some noise.
They can
be
if they're really loud.
Like, if you're listening to headphones loud enough,
yeah.
Like, even earbuds, I can tell, like, oh, there's sound coming out of that.
Charles Manson was very much, that whole scene was very much a part of CIA drugs and psychology type of stuff going on. I don't know if it was MK Ultra specifically. I don't remember. But that's all the crazy. The prosecutor that prosecuted him and everything for the Sharon Tate and LaBianca murderers. There's an episode of Joe Rogan with a former CIA guy whose name is Mike Baker. You could look it up. And they talk a lot about MK Ultra and all the people involved in it and stuff.
Yeah. Now, whether or not all these events are due to MK Ultra still being in existence and the fact that MK Ultra did exist, those are two different things. Obviously, us theorizing that a lot of the modern day shootings could still be part of MK Ultra, that's a theory. The fact that MK Ultra existed, though,
that's not
a theory.
Yeah, that's fact.
It is a fact.
There's some pretty wild stuff with connections in that they discussed, too, with Jack Ruby and, you know, him killing Oswald and everything.
Yeah, I've heard that before because he had a therapist
right
linked to the MK Ultra project.
Right. So the whole script that you just talked about, Cassidy, I told mm-hmm. Cade just recently that he and I used to talk back when we would listen to Rush Limbaugh and we'd talk. It'd be like the only way I can explain sometimes what was going on, because it didn't make sense the way that, say, the Republicans and the Democrats would act and react and deal with situations, was that it was all pre-scripted, that they were following a script. It was like a show and it went out and they followed the script. But I told Kay the other day, it seems to me like the only way I can explain things going on in the world on a worldwide basis is that we have a script that is written out for the world to follow.
Yes, this, but the thing, some of the things he said would include the whole world, not just the U.S.
Yeah, so. So there is a lot on the old show notes.
Yeah, there is.
Where should we start?
Well, there's several things. I was going to say, speaking of wacky ideas back then, it's a wacky idea for these people to be supporting terrorists all over the place and having rallies and having Jewish college students having to be locked in the library while they're beating on the doors.
Yeah, it's everything that's happening in the world recently, ever since we got into, like, hit COVID, it's just the masks are all being removed. I mean, I never had any idea that there was this level, you know, anti-Semitism in the United States, pro-terrorist groups, people who believe that, you know, Israel is a colonial, you know, entity, a colonial state, that... Yeah, I never had any idea it was at that level, but it's crazy. Mom was asking me the other day, is like, why is it that we are still, why is it that we support Israel so strongly? And I told her, I said, I don't think that if we had not historically supported Israel as a nation, the current administration would not really be supporting Israel any longer. I always have this sense that they would like to not support Israel, but they can't completely, you know, denounce them, because historically as a nation, we've always supported Israel, and you can't just one day just get up and go, yeah, we don't support them anymore. But I just don't feel like the true authentic commitment to Israel is there anymore from our government.
I don't really know about the old support for Israel, because I'm not that old.
Right. We've just always...
I would agree that if they could, they would just...
Yeah, certainly starting with Obama.
But, however, how would you... With what just happened, even if we didn't historically have a relationship with Israel, would it not be kind of hard to just let that go? To not have done anything about... What happened?
Well, we've been doing it with the Armenians for
that's true.
A long time. So, yeah.
That's true.
And the Uyghurs. We don't do anything.
Yeah.
We support Israel, I believe, you can, because we were on, you know, on the side that liberated them from the Nazi death camps. So we know what went on there. 3 years later, the United Nations, which we were the driving force in forming, gave them land to become their own nation once again. So, and as Christians and we, as Christian and Jew, the connection, we've always been connected, because going back to then, supporting Israel. So Obama was, I would say he was pretty much an anti-Semite, but ever since him, obviously Trump turned that around. But I just feel like this current administration, if they could just bail on Israel, they would, but they can't. We can't call them colonialists, though, because, I mean, America, we are a fairly colonial nation. Maybe we're not as bad as, like, Britain or something historically, but we're still somewhat colonial.
I don't
nation.
Understand how Israel is colonialist.
They're not, but that's what they're...
It's their land, yeah.
But that's not... But the Palestinians don't think that it's their land. The Palestinians call them colonialists.
Yeah, that's
insane. This is what decolonization looks like. Haven't you heard him saying that?
I know that, but I'm saying you can't call them colonialist.
Well, the Palestinians
because they're not
can.
Not because we're colonialists, but because they're not colonialists.
Well, that's true. I mean, yeah. I mean, when you're inside your own country, now, if they were over in, if they were in Argentina or something, well, you know, that wouldn't be good, because that's where all the Nazis
right.
are. But
yeah, I was going to say, that was a terrible, terrible example.
Yeah. But if they were in some other nation, then yeah.
Could you have picked a worse country?
So I'm actually kind of surprised that the Israeli Defense Forces have not yet gone into Gaza.
Didn't that have to do with the U.S.?
Yeah, the sense that you hear is that we're kind of holding them back, but I'm not sure what justification there is for that.
Or maybe they're just waiting for us because now we're starting to.
Well, the last thing I had heard is that we had asked for them to wait on going in until we had put enough rocket and missile defense in place to defend the U.S. troops that we have in the region. They said once we get our defenses for the troops that we're sending there in place, then you can go in.
Right. We are moving a lot of military assets into that region.
900 troops
because
just the
Iran,
other day.
Right.
Iran did attack.
Yes, they are attacking multiple times now. I mean,
there's like 20 attacks now on U.S.
Right.
bases.
Yeah.
Right.
And so we're fighting back now. So we're on the brink of war.
There's one of the big that they're looking at, they're trying to get in place, is this THAAD system, which is to a missile defense system for ballistic missiles. So, yeah, that's something that they're trying to get in place.
When the first report came out that the U.S. destroyer intercepted missiles and drones coming from Iran, the missiles that took those out would have been the missile system that I worked on.
Really?
And I was kind of glad that they still work, because when I left there were some questions about how they were deciding.
I don't know where things. I don't know if we never said this on the podcast. We didn't do a podcast. That whole event that happened, Dad had told me he heard on Bongino's show. When I had heard about it originally, I thought, you know, three rockets or something got launched at the ship. It was like a 9-hour event.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and there was later I heard five or six, but one of them was taken out by Syria. Like, we got the others, and one was taken out by Syria.
That's weird, because we just bombed Syria. Why would they stop
the
rocket?
That's weird, though, but see, here's the thing. We bombed pro-proxy Iranian groups inside of Syria. We didn't bomb Syria.
Yeah, Syria's a failed state, though. They're definitely on Iran's side.
Depends on what day of the week or what the issue is.
I don't think so. That doesn't even make any sense.
How much of this makes sense?
The reason why there are so many Iranian proxies inside of Syria is because Syria's government doesn't exist. So the fact that you even say that Syria stopped it, I don't even know how that's possible.
I thought it was Syria. Maybe it was somebody else. I thought it was Syria.
Or the maybe Saudis? Was it the Saudis? Because
maybe that's what it was.
Saudi Arabia is north of Yemen, where all those missiles were coming from.
Maybe they just the S got me confused.
So we also have this story on here this week. Did you guys not talk about this again? The Iranian spies have infiltrated the American government.
Well, we had talked about that. Oh, you mean about how you were right?
Well, it's on the topic list.
Yeah.
I put it on there because I don't remember talking about it.
Well, Cassidy brought it up and we basically
said...
And then
remember you guys, then it came out.
We like
and
didn't
I was
really...
like, I talked about that last week.
Cassidy was ahead of all of the mainstream media.
Well, she's way ahead of it because this has been within the last week or so that stories are really being, more in-depth written about it.
I think it's finally, gaining traction.
It got
but
talked
I just
about
want to say, if you listened to Bevington Banter, you would have known about it
from a while ago because
a long time ago.
It was pre the incident in pre October 7th, the incident
Correct.
In Israel. Cassidy
talked
about
it before,
and then
October
it hit
7th.
Mainstream right after that happened, and we were talking about how we had released the $6 billion whatever funds to. Was that what it was? 6 billion?
Yeah, that's when
Is that a right number?
Yeah.
That's insane.
It was during that exchange.
That's when the story came out about the Iranian thing, and Cassidy's like, I talked about that a week ago, maybe more.
When you read the story, though, here's the thing. It's sometimes you read these stories, and it's like, how do these people manage to get in here? How did they infiltrate this? This is not an infiltration. This was an active recruitment specifically of these people. The guy that was recruiting him, this Richard Malley or something, I think his name is, he intentionally put these foreign assets, these Iranian assets, in the State Department.
Death penalty.
Okay,
when
on
are
top
we
going to
bring back the death penalty?
We're going to be ahead of
treason.
Of the, We're going to be ahead of the news cycle on this one, too. Where's the outcry in John Kerry telling the Iranians over 200 times of operations against them, warning them? Have you heard this?
No.
Yes.
But remember, we're talking about the same administration that posted a picture of Combat Application Group, CAG, better known as Delta Force, on their social medias. He probably didn't even know what he was doing was wrong. They don't know. They're just a security breach machine.
I mean, that's crazy.
Like, told them directly, okay. or communication intercepted?
No, he told them.
That we were going to launch an operation in Iran?
Yeah, no, against Iranian assets in Syria. So the story is John Kerry accused of discussing more than 200 Israeli operations carried out in Syria against Iranian targets.
Why do we know about that?
I'm just telling you what the headline says, and then there's this link to the story that I put. So why is John Kerry telling the Iranians about Israeli operations? Why does he know about Israeli operations?
We've got to be hearing from Israel about that.
I mean, that's just some crazy stuff, and I've heard almost nothing about it.
What? Where did you see? You've heard nothing about it. It's on Fox News.
I don't hear anybody else talking about it.
Okay, but Fox News is like one of the most
Fox News anymore now?
People still do.
Jesse Waters
boomers
has been
that aren't
some...
paying attention. They watch it. Jesse Waters has been what?
He's been getting some good stories. He's almost stepped in to like filling Tucker's role.
How many times has he talked to his mom on the air?
Only the first time. Speaking about talking to his mom, I didn't, because he'd have to read the translation. One of us would have to read it. But did you guys hear the
yes.
Hamas phone call of the guy calling
his
parents telling
about
how he killed 10 Jews with my own hands. He's all excited. Then he's talking to his dad. Put mom on the phone. Put mom on the phone. It's just
He's like, open your WhatsApp. You can see it.
That's surreal.
Yeah.
You can see it? He sent pictures?
Yes.
His WhatsApp. Yeah, he recorded.
Like pictures and videos. Like they were posting. Well, people, they were taking...
They live streamed stuff, didn't they?
Israeli people's phones and live streaming it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I know.
He's
sending it to their family.
To their own account.
He was calling on a dead woman's phone that he killed. And he brags about that to his father.
Did you see the phone conversation between the two Hamas guys about how that rocket that hit that hospital parking lot was theirs and they were going to be in trouble?
Yeah. Oops. And Rashida Tlaib still claims that that Israel did it.
And that 500 people were
killed. Yeah, 500 people died. Yeah. That leads me to a topic I definitely want to get to. We need to have a bit of a philosophical discussion. But
is it about when do we label people in our own government enemy combatants?
Well, not our own government, but that's a worthy discussion. When do we? It ties in with what I didn't want to talk about.
Is this your First Amendment question?
Yes. So
yeah, Cole and I kind of discussed this a little bit too.
This massive rally that they had, pro-Palestinian rally that they had on the U.S., the Capitol Mall, where they are chanting, you know, Allahu Akbar, whatever. How do you balance that? How do you deal with that in light of the First Amendment and free speech? Because
Allahu Akbar
just
by
a meeting,
itself
that
is one thing, but I will agree,
but to say from the river to the sea
Palestine
will be free,
I will agree that the tenets of Islam in and of themselves subordinate the U.S. Constitution.
Absolutely.
So to promote something like Sharia law, it should not be legal.
Correct. But even to shout like Allahu Akbar, I disagree. You know, God is great is basically what it means, right? Am I correct in that?
Yeah.
I don't agree that even that, because it is it is shouted, it is proclaimed when they kill people. So
yes, but they also use it.
I can't.
All the time.
I can't separate that. I can't separate that. If you're going to kill people in Allah's name, I can't separate that phrase from your desire to kill. And
yeah, but
what
I mean,
said is
crusaders probably praise God when they cut a Muslim's head off back in the day. So
okay, and we don't support that either, right?
Yeah,
I don't.
But we still probably say the same thing that they said. So I don't know if the phrase itself should be illegal, but
it's we are
any
not
kind of promotion.
If people were doing that currently, I would have the same feeling about it. That has not happened for hundreds of years. Okay.
Correct, but if they started saying a phrase that you say on a regular basis, that automatically makes then what you want to say illegal because somebody who does something bad also says it. But and that's why I don't think the phrase itself can be illegal. I only think promoting something that, you know, undercuts the Constitution is what should be illegal.
You know why they're gathering. You know what it's in response to. You know, like you said, that Sharia law is antithetical to the U.S. Constitution. So
yeah,
if you want to argue
that pro-Palestinian, essentially pro-Hamas rallies should be allowed, I can get on board with that before I can get on board with making the phrase Allahu Akbar illegal.
I totally agree
with that.
I'm not talking about just specifically the phrase. I'm tying all this together of what it is that they are purporting. They want to bring an end to the United States.
Yeah, I'm against the Hamas rallies, if that's what we're talking about. The pro-Palestinian...
Right, because we know what their agenda is. Israel has to end, and then we get to the Christians, and the U.S. is the great Satan. So we know that their agenda is to... The U.S. is a great Satan, and it needs to be overthrown. It needs to cease to exist. How do you let those people gather together and rally on the Washington Mall, on the Capitol Mall? Why do you not have a legal right to say you cannot do this, and we will not allow it, and if you do it, we'll put an end to it?
Yeah, I think the fact that BLM, the organization, sponsored all of those events that happened a while ago, and the fact that they, in their statement, they were originally against the nuclear family. They were self-proclaimed Marxists. That falls under the same thing for me. This and that are the same. They are both.
I agree.
So they are both ideologies that are
antithetical to our nation,
to the Constitution. They cannot both exist. I don't think free speech should cover the promotion of Marxism.
No, because it's you're essentially violating, if not a specific written law, you're violating the very principles and foundation of our nation. And I don't understand why we can't send law enforcement in and break those up. I mean, why don't we?
They would just rather not.
What are we supposed to?
You can't trust the court system to ever.
Don't ask me. I'm not the person.
Yeah, you can't trust the court system to side with you.
Yeah,
I don't think they would.
I mean, I think I have an answer as to why we don't. But especially at the federal level, is because
it works for their benefit,
right? And we want the nation to be changed from what it is, and we want the anxiety, and we want the fear. I mean, as a federal government, all those things redound to your benefit. But to not even discuss it, nobody even discusses that we should set that those things should be broken up by law enforcement or military or whatever. I don't hear anybody even talking about it, and it's clearly antithetical to who we are as a nation. I don't get it. We just say, "Oh, free speech, free speech, free speech." No, that's not free speech.
I do think that openly promoting those things is. I could see where that's considered a call to action, the same as, especially when you're pro-Hamas, who in their the very nature of them is to literally kill people. You cannot promote.
Some of the statements were very overtly in favor of what happened.
That's a call to action. That's the same as them saying, hey, everybody get together and go kill this group of people. And that is absolutely, everyone agrees that that is a violation of the First Amendment. But all of a sudden, when you put it in, when you put it on a green flag, it's okay. I agree. It's crazy. That should be illegal. And in that case, the Hamas even more so than the BLM thing, because Hamas is, you know, the whole thing is kill Americans, kill Jews.
However, instead of our government being against these things or not even just shutting them down, but even just speaking out against them, Corinne John Identity Hire totally skirted a question about anti-Semitism and talked about Islamophobia.
Yeah, before we go to that real quick, I want to make one more point about this. They did that rally specifically on the Capitol Mall. They didn't hold it down, you know, at some other park. They didn't hold it somewhere else. They went right into the heart of, like, this is the United States. And that ramps it up even to another level. That is a very clear message. We want to end who you are as a nation. Now, you're right. So, and then going on, you're right. This government, they're not going to stand up against this, because like what you just said, Cassie, KJP, when she was asked about anti-Semitism, totally went into this rant on Islamophobia. It was crazy. She got called on it to the point that where she actually made it an additional statement to kind of retract, because, hey, oh, well, I didn't really understand. And yeah, you're right. We shouldn't be anti-Semitic. And yeah, she got a lot of blowback on that.
Of concern right now about the potential rise of anti-Semitism in light of everything that's going on in Israel.
So a couple of things. We have not seen any credible threats. I know there's been always questions about credible threats. And so just want to make sure that that's out there. But look, Muslim and those perceived to be Muslim have endured a disproportionate number of hate-fueled attacks. And certainly President Biden understands that many of our Muslim, Arab Americans and Palestinian American loved ones and neighbors are worried about the hate being directed at their communities. And that is something you heard the president speak to in his address just last Thursday.
That's enough for me. There's more.
The
but
call
that's enough
for the global day of jihad wasn't an,
that
wasn't
is
enough.
An absurd statement. I have never seen... I don't think I've ever seen a hate crime against the Muslim community that wasn't a hoax.
Well, they're actually, and I was wondering if this story had it in it, but there are, they put out some percentages. Yeah, here it is. While it is true Muslims who make up about 1% of the population were the victims of about 10% of anti-religious hate crimes in 2021 per FBI data, Jews, who are about 2% of the population, are the victims of 51% of such hate crimes. So Jews is way higher.
Yeah. But that just, we all know that Corinne Jean-Pierre is stupid or a liar or both. So
both.
Yeah. So it makes sense that she's wrong about that, intentionally or unintentionally.
What do you guys know? Because I'm just curious. Do you know anything more about this Jenna Ellis pleading guilty? I mean, I know she did, but what what's the specifics?
She basically pled guilty to being Trump's lawyer. That's my understanding. But she's the fourth person.
That's not a charge, though.
I know, but that's essentially.
Oh, what?
And oh, she does this
guilty.
Super sad
you got
apology.
Me. I was Trump's lawyer, guilty.
Yeah, yeah, this apology for.
No, she was crying.
Being involved.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But this guy,
which is horrible, because the things she's saying you should are not a crime.
No.
And really, what this mainly says is that we live in a banana republic, okay, where we have no justice system. That's the saddest part. But
whoever convinced her to plead guilty.
No, because she was she's the fourth person to, though. So basically now, if you don't plead guilty, you're looking at probably jail time versus these people are just getting probation.
Remember, we've talked about it before. Because it's almost certain, unfortunately, that Trump is going to be the nominee, if they steal the election again, they have now made it to where no one will stand up for him or their life will be over. I really think that they're not worried about Trump because they know that if they steal the election again, that no one will defend him.
You'll never be able to say it, and nobody will defend him.
Yep. The charge is one count of aiding and abetting false statements and writings.
What are the false statements and writings?
That's insane as a lawyer. Because, you have to prove that she knew it was a lie.
Because
well, yeah, I know.
Well, that's not only that.
Insane. That's what I'm saying.
The thing with Trump is, and I've heard people say this over and over who have been with him all along, he absolutely believes that the election was stolen from him. And once, and if that's what you believe, then none of this is a crime.
Her testimony and pleading guilty itself shows that she didn't. She said, if I knew what I know now, I would have declined to represent Donald Trump.
Right.
Which really, that's not even how, if she knew it was fake, that's not how it works.
That's not how legal representation
works.
You cannot.
However, what she's really saying is if I knew that you were going to,
right,
for no pun intended, trump up charges, yeah, I wouldn't have done this.
There are lawyers who know that their clients are murderers and still try to get them off. That's not illegal.
Well, here's my thing about this.
As long as they don't lie.
This is my question, I guess, and why I brought this up. Am I right to be upset with Jenna Ellis?
Yes. I'm upset.
Michael Knowles was talking about this. I mean, they're friends, right?
Yes.
Like, a lot of the Daily Wire people know them. And he is saying, like, you know, can't say we wouldn't do the same thing. Because she's literally looking at jail charges. Is she a mom? She's young. She probably has young kids.
When?
She looks different every time I see her. I don't
know
what she is.
Instead of pleading guilty, when? She is a lawyer.
I was going to say, how does their case against you win?
Because there's no justice system.
You can appeal it.
You cannot. You know,
if you get convicted, you can appeal it, and maybe you'll get a judge that will actually uphold the law.
This is the same thing as if in an actual court case, you called the defendant's lawyer to the stand. This is the same as that. That's insane. You cannot do that. You cannot call the defendant's lawyer to the stand and go, what does he tell you behind closed doors? That's what this is. This is not allowed.
It's insane. The whole thing.
Here's my thing. And this is why I've said this several times from the pulpit. You better make up your mind right now. Because when these people show up at your door, if you don't already know what you're going to do, it's too late. And I draw this parallel with, say, a Jenna Ellis situation with the Jews and Hamas and the Palestinians. You can't back down. If you let them intimidate you and push you around, if you let them have this massive gathering on the National Mall and have no response to it, then it's over. It's over. I'm not talking about armed conflict, but what I'm saying is that you need to gather and you need to protest and you need to shout the truth about you know who Hamas is and who Israel is. You can't not respond, and these people are not responding. All these four people who have taken plea deals are not standing up and fighting, and that's exactly the evil is winning.
Yes, and in relation to the Hamas-Palestine situation, people are out there having pro-Palestine rallies. Now my question is, why haven't we organized? Why are we not out there standing with the Jewish people?
I agree with you.
Like this, they're going to run, I guess, coming up this weekend. I think
in Crown
tomorrow,
Heights
in New York, right?
Yeah,
down
Crown
by the
Heights.
Okay, a ton of people should go outside and stand outside that, is it synagogue or whatever it is?
Yep.
It's that Orthodox center, and just stand between them.
Right.
And say, we're standing in this gap. If I was there, I don't know if I would, because they probably wouldn't let me, because Cole wouldn't let me because I'm pregnant, but he would go.
Right. I totally agree with you. I keep asking myself those same things. And my thing is, well, my problem is I'm sitting in the middle of cornfields in Middle Point,
yes,
Ohio.
Yes, you're in the middle of nowhere.
But if I were there, the proper response to this is to have a massive pro-Israel crowd out there. I mean, you can't not. And I'm not talking about violent confrontation. I'm talking about speaking the truth, speaking your side.
Yeah, and in this case, like, I mean,
instead,
literally standing in the gap.
They're, Instead, they're telling everybody to stay inside, don't go anywhere near it, lock your doors. And so they can go out there and they can state their
piece. That's what they're saying about Maine.
That's what they're telling these people. That's what this OC, this Orthodox Center, is telling the people
telling
there.
The Jewish people.
Yeah, yes.
They're telling their people.
And instead, you're right. Christians should be out there too. You're right.
The Christians need to go.
And even though we're not saying that there should be a violent conflict, if you don't take a weapon,
you're
insane.
Crazy.
You're crazy.
Yep.
Well, it's New York.
I know. That's the problem with that.
Yeah. I know what they should do. The Jewish people should leave New York and let them let the rest of the crazy people that are still there burn it down. The bottom line is, if you're in one of these victimized groups, leave big cities. Leave them now. You should have been leaving big cities since COVID started. At this point, if you're still there, it's your own fault. You have nobody to blame but yourself.
Okay, you know what?
I could defend you a lot better. I could defend you a lot better if you were in a county like this than I can in the city of New York. You need to get out.
But if we just let them have every large city.
So?
There's somewhat truth to
them. I think we should build a wall around them.
If everyone left California, like, who's staying to fight for California?
Who cares?
Yeah,
because they have a lot of influence over the rest of the country.
Well, they won't if everybody influential leaves.
Once they become a crap hole and their economy is destroyed,
they already
and
are
everything
crap
else,
hole.
Then no, they're no longer an influence.
You have to decide what is important to you, and it shouldn't be the land that you live on.
Well, yeah, I don't care, but I don't know. There's more to it. Like, okay, if you have a family and stuff, get out. If you are in a better position to try to stay and say the true things into a dark situation.
Yeah, if you're willing to be persecuted by the legal system and the people that hate you there, then yeah, sure.
Here's the situation. When you talk about these, going to immigration, I guess, and the pro-Palestinian groups and all the others, is that now you have Israel under attack. England, Germany, Italy, France, all these European nations that would have in the past come to Israel's defense, now they are in big time danger if they do, because they all have huge Muslim populations within those countries, and they will absolutely go violent if these countries stand with Israel. And now we're getting it in New York, and we're getting it in places like that. Dearborn, Michigan. Minnesota, where Rashida Tlaib, represents. I showed Cade a map the other day of where there are like all these known Muslim
jihad terror camps
inside the United States. Training camps.
There's one in Cleveland.
There's one in Dallas?
There's two in Dallas.
I think, yeah.
There's two in the Dallas area. One, I think, is Arlington, which is Dallas-ish.
Yeah.
The Metroplex.
There were like five in Texas total.
Texas also has a lot of guns.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the thing
I'm just done with Texas and the whole gun thing. They've shown themselves to be completely worthless on that front.
Sadly, do you know that we live in a district that's represented by a Democrat?
Wow.
Our new house.
Wow, bummer.
Yep. Also, Pat and Keith, what they talk about how the roads are terrible in Dallas. Yeah. It's not just Dallas. The roads are bad.
Is yours in the 28th? Did you look it up? The 28th district?
35th.
I don't want to say the name of the town that you live in, but I looked it up because I wanted to see if you lived in the district that was going to get to vote for Brandon Herrera, the YouTuber that's running against that Anthony Gonzalez guy.
Oh, maybe you're right.
And that's the 23rd. No, I wanted to see if you were in the 23rd. I could have swore you were
in the
28th. Oh, okay.
Our city might be split into multiple.
I guess that's possible.
Can we move to Joe Biden corruption?
Sure.
Yes.
Did you see where this Comer shows record, Comer, new record show, $200,000 payment to Joe Biden same day as his brother received a loan from AmeriCorps.
Yes.
So they keep saying that you got no evidence. No. And here's like, yeah, we got a check. Here's a check. And the apparently the point in negative, well, it's just paying back a loan. Okay. Well, it's still the same thing. I mean, you can't. The reason that he had the money to loan is because of this corruption, supposedly. So, and then there was the, did I put this in here? The story where the FBI.
The FBI received criminal information. 40
confidential sources.
40. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy. Over a 15-year span on Joe, Hunter, and James Biden, and they were all just completely shut down.
Yeah, but not even just that. I mean, weren't there people in the IRS literally flagging transactions? Yes. As so there's
the banks yeah. it was over 1,000 of these suspicious activity reports.
That's what it was. Yeah.
And then the IRS guys that tried to pursue it, they were shut down. Those were the IRS whistleblowers,
and they knew about it then and they didn't do anything, and we know about it now and they're not going to do anything. So I don't know what you do. Well, never mind.
Yeah. I mean, if a conservative does not win, and more conservatives this election cycle coming up, then there's no getting it back because they just have too much of a stranglehold on it. The criminals have too much of a stranglehold on it. But who's this new? Somebody just declared on the Democrat side to run for president. Yes.
And he actually loves Joe Biden. He just thinks he's too old.
No.
And he needs to pass. He said Joe Biden saved the country. He just needs to pass the torch.
Saved the country? What has he even done?
I don't know. And I don't even remember his name. Hey, speaking of names, raise your hand if you knew who Mike Johnson was more than 3 days ago.
I actually did. Because I've seen some...
Don't think people can see us. This is a podcast with only our voices.
But it's just supposed to be. I was going to say, this includes the listeners.
Image of me raising my
hand.
Unless
you're from Louisiana. I don't.
I've seen him because he's done some pretty good questioning of, you know, witnesses up on Capitol Hill. And so they'll get posted on Twitter, on X.
It's the new Speaker of the House, in case you didn't know.
This guy has already backed off on his hatred for sending money to Ukraine overnight. I swear you get like, you know how like you start a new
his
job.
His record is better than McCarthy.
Yeah, of course it is.
Not as good as.
Of course it is.
Not as good
as. You know
as
how
Jordan.
Like when you start a new job and you get a welcome package from HR and you go through everything? You get that when you become Speaker of the House, but it's filled with blackmail letters. All it is. Your welcome package is a bunch of letters that say, we know what you did. And we're going to tell everybody. Because he just changes his mind.
By the way that they present this guy, then he doesn't really
what
have...
What is he doing? I mean, what are you talking about, Gabe? What is he doing?
When he was asked about the spending Ukraine, he has been so hardline against it.
Yeah, he only endorsed the first package, the initial package.
But since becoming Speaker, he said something... I can't remember exactly what it was, but he said something pro-sending money to Ukraine.
I didn't hear that. But I've only heard like mostly good things.
Yeah.
Yeah, except for that weird black sun thing.
Yeah.
The Joe Biden on his last speech from the Oval Office, you know, they put forth this $100 billion package and tied it all together. You have to like approve the whole thing or you approve none of it. And it's got money in it for Israel. So there's the idea. But to approve money to support Israel in their fight against Hamas, you got to approve $60 billion to Ukraine.
Real quick, this is 23 hours ago, posted by Eric Spracklin, who I think still works for Project Veritas.
Do you support additional aid to Ukraine?
We all do. We're going to have conditions on that, so we're working through it.
What kind of conditions?
We want accountability and we want objectives that are clear from the White House. But we're going to have those discussions. It's going to be very productive.
His first answer to do you support sending money to Ukraine, we all do. He said, we all do. I'm telling you, the first thing that happens
to
you when you become Speaker of the House is you get blackmailed. That's the only answer. because that is a that's almost a 180. It's at least a 90 degree turn.
Yeah. This $100 billion, yeah, for 60 to Ukraine, though it was like 16 billion to Israel.
It's mostly for Ukraine,
right?
Yeah.
It's mostly for Ukraine, but there was like 9 or 10 billion for U.S. border security, and everybody was like, "Oh, we're going to finally then do something about our border." But it's not border security the way you think. It's money for the border to see to
processing.
It that yes, all the illegals will be sent to all 50 states. And this is why I'm telling people, you better prepare yourself, because what went on in Israel, they would like to do here, and they are intentionally sending, and that money is to make sure these people end up in all 50 states.
Speaking of the border, when we went into El Paso, you literally, like Juarez, Mexico, and El Paso, like run together. You're on the freeway, on the 10, and you look to the right, and it's like border fence, Mexico, like houses. It was wild. And there was a lot of border patrol when we left there, and like the next stretch of road, we're really close to the border. There's a lot of, one, we went through a border patrol.
You mean processing agents?
We went through a border patrol checkpoint, and literally all they did was say, we rolled the window down, said hello, and he goes, both U.S. citizens? And we go, yep. And he goes, okay. Which I'm like, we're kind of U.S. citizens.
You should have gone, see.
I know. Afterwards, Auntie Jenny and I were talking. I was like, I said, should have said, see. And I was like, K? Like,
wait a minute. Her last name is Lopez.
Yeah.
No habla?
But anyway, then there's like a lot of law enforcement cars just along the road. But yeah, it was interesting.
Probably if you'd have been like, K? What? No habla?
I know.
No
habla? He heard her voice.
No habla? They would have been like, just go.
He heard Auntie Janie's voice, saw my white face, and waved us along.
So,
that's racist. You could have been from Sweden.
I guess that's true.
I've been watching some of these questions, congressional hearings. This John Kennedy guy, he's awesome.
Mean the Biden's approval is lower than Jock Itch guy?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Josh Hawley. And the people just sit there and just lie, especially people like Mayorkas and stuff. And they just lie, and they won't answer the question, and it's insane. And I really thought, would it be possible to make them all take sodium pentothal before they testify?
I don't think so. They can make you take the COVID vaccine, though.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, if you can make me take the COVID vaccine,
potential negative effects.
Be like, hey, are you going to lie?
I was going to say, you're not supposed to lie anyway. So
you shouldn't be worried about it.
So you shouldn't worry about it. So here's your shot.
Is that the only effect?
I don't know.
I don't care.
I don't really care for people like Mayorkas.
That would be the reasoning they would.
I don't know.
Arnold
Schwarzenegger was still able to kill everybody.
Everyone knows they're liars. I think that's the reason why our episode, literally just called Merrick Garland is a Liar, is still getting so many downloads.
Still getting listens. I know. I know that it just every day it just ticks up a little bit more
because everybody knows. They just probably search something, Merrick Garland or something, and that pops up, and they're like, you know, that's true, and they play it. Everybody knows.
Yeah, but no, don't you think wouldn't that be fun? Wouldn't it be awesome to give these people all shots of sodium pentothal? Maybe double. Give them a double dose.
There's some other versions of it that basically act like a truth serum. There's one that has there's the main component of it that does something to your brain, but then part of it, though, is fentanyl. So I don't know if we should use that one. Like the other part of it. A small part of it is fentanyl. No,
sodium thiopental is what it's called, is used in, when I searched what you wrote, that's what came up as the true serum. It's used intravenously for the purposes of euthanasia in Belgium and the Netherlands.
Really? Does it kind of mellow you out?
I guess you just have to use it. I'm assuming you use a lot more of it than you
give
do
them,
for
you give them a little
telling
bit.
The truth.
You give them a little bit. You ask them questions. When they answer them,
lethal
you
injection.
Push the plunger the rest of the way down.
It's also used in 34 U.S. states to execute prisoners by lethal injection.
Huh.
I think you look at the wrong thing.
No, because it's up here also as the truth serum.
I bet they'll tell the truth if you had it hooked up to like a 1 gallon bag and then said, hey, tell me the truth.
You just use a little bit of it.
Squeeze the bag a little bit.
Fentanyl, though, I mean, use
properly. It all depends on how much you give them.
I got fentanyl after my heart surgery, and I felt fine.
Of course you did.
They also give it to you during delivery. Women during delivery.
That seems like a terrible idea.
That's
what it says.
How do Congress people that are question these guys that are questioning these liars, how do they control themselves? I'm impressed by that.
I would just be I don't know if I could do it all the time. We should put at the very least we should put heart rate monitors on them. And their heart rate should have to be on a little display right next to them.
Okay. That would make my heart rate go up. Wait a minute.
No.
Get a baseline.
I have a fluttery
heart.
You sample them
from time to time, and you get a baseline. And if you go more than 10% above the baseline, you're cooked.
I would say ask them like what their names are and stuff, but I don't even trust that. They might be lying about that. So you can't even ask them like what their name is as a baseline. That's like, you know.
If we could give them like a little electroshock every time that they won't answer a question.
This is like the thing Brett Cooper does.
Huh?
Brett Cooper does this thing.
He brings people on
and they get hooked up to a lie detector test and an electroshock, and they have a dude and they ask each other questions. And then if the guy says they're lying, he shocks them. She's like done it with, and she did it with Candace and with Michael Knowles.
Did you see, I hope Candace wasn't pregnant at the time. Did you see where the guy, I saw this because he was a Navy air crewman, and somebody posted a guy in his kids were playing in a fountain like water park thingy, and they started saying they were getting shocked, and he went in and basically 4 or 5 people they ended up going including his 2 sons ended up in the hospital, but in him saving them it killed him.
Wait. Why were they getting shocked?
Something went wrong in this water park thing, and they were getting getting electricity in the water, and they.
Oh my god!
Yeah. So I don't know if he had. I guess it hurt the people.
Did he have a pacemaker?
I don't know. I wondered if he had some other kind of heart condition or something that it was a problem. Isn't it? You guys know more about electricity, obviously, than me. Is it like 30 amps across the heart? That's pretty much universally fatal.
That would be a Cade question if. Even that.
Well, that's a Mythbuster question.
I don't know why Cade would know in relation to health.
Because they used to talk about it all the time on Mythbusters when they would test things that would, kill you.
I know, because when I torture people, I turn it to 29.